This is an audio archive edition of WINA's Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot, made available online by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network, cvillepodcast.com.
Jay Willer joins me live in studio. He's the Executive Vice President for the Blue Ridge Home Builders Association, and they're online at brhba.org. And Jay, my apologies again. I always say the Blue Ridge Area Home Builders Association. I don't know why I say that.
Well, we cover five counties in the area, so
yeah,
maybe we
yeah.
should put that in our name.
Yeah. And, of course, definitely one of the groups that's been hit very hard by this economic meltdown that we are experiencing here in the early 21st century. We've seen some builders here in the region that have been around for a long time that have been forced to hang it up and move on to something else. And that's too bad, you know, because these are good people.
It's a very good, difficult time, and people who have, as you say, put a lot of time and effort into building a business are at the moment struggling through no fault of their own, no decision of their own. It's a difficult time in the economy, and that makes lots of people reluctant to buy houses, to take that leap. We're starting to see some turnaround, more people coming out to look at houses, more contracts being offered. We have a parade of homes coming up in a couple of weeks to give people lots of things to look at. Great interest rates. It's a good time to buy a house if people just get themselves to that point of being willing and able.
Yeah. And if the banks will get off the money that we gave them and lend it.
if the banks will make the loans, if you know people aren't afraid of losing their jobs, it's a very complex economy that we operate in.
And
there are some things we can do to try to help and some things that are just beyond anybody's control.
And we just hear the news breaking today here on WINA that the University of Virginia is looking at about $9 or $10 million of money for next year's budget that they have to figure out how to make $9 or $10 million of cuts. It's really a $19 million cut to the university from the state, but Governor Kane is using some stimulus money to offset that, so it ends up being about $9 or $10 million, and it could be worse next year when that stimulus money's gone.
And that hurts those people who may lose their jobs because of those cuts. It hurts ripples outward from if I don't have a job, am I going out to eat as often at Zazu's or wherever? You know, there's lots of rippling out impacts of any change in our economy, positive or negative.
Yeah. Now, you mentioned some good news. What are the numbers telling you now about home building in our region?
The numbers are still way depressed from the past 2 years. I brought some numbers with me up to the end of July in each of the last 3 years, just as a kind of ballpark. The end of July in 2007, there had been 433 new housing starts in Albemarle County. 433. The end of July last year, 316. End of July this year, 166.
Whoa.
If you want to talk dollar impacts, back in 2007 when there were 433, it had a construction cost, just labor and materials, of a little over $107 million. Up to July this year, it was $39 million. $62 million not injected into the local economy because of the slump in housing.
We're talking with Jay Willer of the Blue Ridge Home Builders Association. And, of course, as you point out, Jay, that just ripples through the economy. That's,
sure.
You know, I mean, one less guy hanging sheetrock is one, you know, a few less stops at the local restaurant, sure. A less stop at the grocery store.
Another pickup truck not purchased. You know, there's all kinds of things that impact not just the builders and their direct suppliers, but our whole economy.
Yeah. And we were talking before we went on the air about the you've seen even just the membership in your association has gone way down as folks have, you know, either gotten out of the business or decided that, hey, I'm still doing my job, but I can't afford to participate in the association.
Yeah, our membership is off about 25%, maybe a little more than that. And we have no way of knowing. In some cases, I know it's because a business went out of business.
Yeah.
In some cases, the members tell us, I love what you do. I absolutely support what you do. Keep doing it. as I look at my discretionary cash in this economy, I don't have any. I got to pay my electric bill, not my dues to the Blue Ridge Home Builders Association. So we've lost one of our staff people. We're eating into our cash reserves a bit, but we're going to keep doing what we're doing because it's important for our members. It's important, we think, for our economy, and it's important for the growth of this area.
Yeah. What is the key there to the importance, and what is the message that you share with people in this area who feel like, well, this isn't something that touches my life?
Well, part of it is that just simply the economics of, if you have, there are lots of jobs that you wouldn't think are related to building or related to growth, but in lots of ways are. This radio station has a wonderful listenership, but if Charlottesville population, regional population, were half of what it is, we might not have the same number of radio stations. We might not have the requisite number of people interested in listening to this show. Those are all things that are functions of growth. How many restaurants do you get to go to? What's the level of competition for your kid's soccer team based on how many kids are available who want to participate in soccer? There's all kinds of rising tide benefits to that growth. The young man who was in here the last half hour talked about growing up in Raleigh, and it's hugely better now. And he said, I wished I were growing up there now, because there's so many more things to do. That's a benefit of growth that we don't often look at.
And I'm just sitting here thinking it also affects the faith-based community as well. If you think about it, when you have more people, you can have a more diversity of churches, more people volunteering, all that kind of thing. And it really reaches into everything.
It is that sense of a growing steady population, steady economy, steady community gives all of us wonderful opportunities that we simply might not have, whether it's jobs or opportunities to give of ourselves in a faith-based community, whatever it is. Lots of those things are simply based on how many people live here, what's the need, what's the support, what's the dollar flow.
Yeah. We are talking with Jay Willer of the Blue Ridge Home Builders Association, and the phone lines are open at 977-1070. Now, Jay, there will be people in our community who would agree with that, but then they also pause and say, but there's a cost to that growth, and we don't talk enough about the cost. We often just play up the good stuff about growth, like we're talking about now, but there's some downside, and there's some real costs to everybody's wallet and your home budget. As the community grows, we all pay more in taxes or, paying for infrastructure. And we're seeing that now as the community is being asked to pony up to pay for a new, multi-$100 million new reservoir. Right. We were talking recently with Jack Marshall of the Albemarle Advocates for a Sustainable Albemarle Population, ASAP. And I understand you listened to that.
Yes, I
and,
did.
And you emailed me and said, I got to comment on this. And, of course, in the spirit of this program, I said, well, then, Jay, come on the show and share your thoughts. Absolutely.
And here I am.
Yeah, absolutely. So I just want to, with that kind of preface then, what are your thoughts about this theme of paying for growth and the negative downside consequences to growth that we're hearing more and more about in our community?
We're hearing more and more about, because there are some costs, some dollar costs. But, there's something to be said for we all drive on roads. We all get our water out of pipes in the ground. We all dispose of water through pipes in the ground that somebody else paid for before us. There has been growth since the Monacan Indians moved on somewhere. Thomas Jefferson, in one of his journals, it's always good to quote Mr. Jefferson.
Absolutely.
Talked about the land that is now the lawn on grounds. He once referred to it as that cornfield west of Charlottesville. there has been growth for a very long time. Up until recently, there was the communal will, the political will, to say we should all pay our fair share, pay our way, and look forward to building a 50-year sewer system from what's now going to be Albemarle Place has been in the ground for 70 years. Nobody currently using that line ever put a penny into it. Now it's time to make that line bigger. Now it's time to expand our water system, to something that supplies us with water for the next 50 years. For everybody who benefits from what somebody else paid for, somewhere we have a communal obligation to be thankful to our forebears who did that, and to think about, shouldn't we be help be responsible for what happens out in the future?
Now, what's your response to somebody who says, well, it's really our community obligation to ask if we should continue business as usual, if that is, if we should just assume that it's time to grow? Maybe it's time to slow growth.
Sure.
Do I play a good devil's advocate?
growth at the moment is slowing because of the economy. But, you know, in broad terms, the study that Mr. Marshall's group just produced, for instance, looks at what points out in the future do we start to tip, that our growth gets bigger than local systems can handle. They pick air and water and kind of leave everything else out, and it's an interesting choice. Maybe it's just who can be against clean air and clean water, but it skews, I think, the study to say let's only pick those two variables. But there are lots of things that we are going to grow. One thing that we talk about with the home builders all the time is ways to, in the future, minimize the impacts of our growth. We don't have to assume that a house 20 years from now is going to consume the same amount of electricity and water and footprint, et cetera, that a house today does. We do a lot of green building stuff that says, let's lower that impact so that as we grow, the per capita growth in demand on goods and services and infrastructure doesn't grow as quickly as our population does.
We're talking with Jay Willer of the Blue Ridge Home Builders Association. By that logic, then, our prediction for how much water we might need in 50 years might indeed be a little overinflated if we can say that we're going to be building homes different in the future and we're not going to be using as much water as, say, a home did 5 years ago.
There's nothing wrong with building a 50-year water supply that would last us for 80 years. You know, that's,
I remember reading that on one of the comments on a blog somewhere. Somebody said, who cares if it's overinflated? We'll be good for 100 years.
I think I've heard Ms. Thomas talk about 70 years. But, you know, water... One of the things that apparently has happened after a drought a couple of years ago, the local water authority encouraged people to cut back, and they did. Now we may see our water rates go up because we're using less water. They still have to pay for the infrastructure. They still have to pay for all those things. But we've cut back on our water usage. Maybe it's because more people are drinking bottled water. Maybe we're getting smaller lawns, so we're not watering our lawns as much. Maybe there's a couple car washes in town that say that they recycle the water. Maybe we're going to those places instead of running a hose down our driveway.
You know,
there's all kinds of things that we can be doing that limit, that are responsible as you know, people who live in this world, to say, let's cut our demand, let's cut our usage, let's cut our impact. And so as we grow, the negative sides of growth, cost impacts, aren't going to be as much.
We're talking with Jay Willer, Executive Vice President of the Blue Ridge Home Builders Association, online at brhba.org for Blue Ridge Home Builders Association. That's it. So what other thoughts do you have about this whole debate, which, you know, it's not going to go away. In fact, it only seems to be heating up.
It's not going to go away. In one sense, on behalf of the builders, I'd say we hope it's going to heat up. We hope there are more homes to build. That may sound irresponsible, and I don't mean to be quite that flippant.
But it'd be a great problem to have, is what you're saying.
Well, but growth is important. You know, in any economy, in any community, Charlottesville is now growing at a 1.4% a year, something like that, less than 2%. And a fair portion of that growth even is not people moving here. It's people having babies and people like me taking better care of ourselves so that we don't stroke out at 60 years old.
Yeah.
You know, that it's called the natural population growth. But this is a wonderful place to live. The NGIC growth is maybe going to make a difference. Will it be as big as some people think? Probably not, because not all those folks are actually going to move here. Lots of them may rent. Lots of them may commute from Manassas or something because that's where they live now.
Yeah.
And their kids are in school. They don't want to move. We don't know what that impact is going to be. But it's good because it keeps creating new jobs, creating new opportunities, new options for restaurants to go to, radio programs to listen to.
Yeah.
Those are things that are very good for us, for your children, because it gives them more opportunities. And as that is all happening, home builders hopefully will have some demand to build a house.
We're talking with Jay Wheeler of the Blue Ridge Home Builders Association. I was just sitting here thinking as you were talking about what a great problem it is to have dealing with growth.
Sure.
Because I don't know about you or the listeners, but I have lived in a place where they didn't have that problem, in upstate New York, where it was just the opposite. And there were empty homes, there were closed storefronts, and this is 10 years ago, before, when the economy was booming. There was no growth in this little town, and you really could feel it. I mean, it was sort of sad. I mean, a beautiful little town, don't get me wrong, but still, there was no growth. And they didn't have that problem. And I can tell you, it's a nice problem to have. At the same time, you do have some downsides to it. I grew up in Northern Virginia in Fairfax County. And I'll tell you, I hate going to Fairfax County. I hate going back to the neighborhoods where I was a kid. It doesn't even look the same. You know, I mean, it's unbelievable. And it takes you hours to get anywhere.
But is that because it changes your personal memories or because it is now not as nice a place to live? I mean, it's a different place. Change is going to happen.
Yeah.
And people move and come into the area, leave the area because change happens.
Yeah.
And
I wasn't thinking so much of my personal memories as driving and just sitting in traffic.
I lived in Washington, D.C. on Capitol Hill for 25 years, and I laugh when people talk about how bad traffic is here because I can still see the traffic light ahead of me as opposed to I'm backed up here forever. But, you know, again, places change, people change, the population changes, the opportunities change. The folks who are maybe going to move here from Engic are leaving Fort Belvoir, and maybe that's kind of run out of growth opportunities. So all these folks move on to somewhere else. There's lots of things that are benefits and lots of decisions we all make in our lives about, is this a place I like? Is this a place I want to stay? But probably none of us should be able to say, but we don't want anybody else to move here. You know, earlier on this program, there was we've just got ranked again 6th in the country or something in places to come to school, surprisingly behind Iowa City, Iowa. I've been to Iowa City, Iowa. I think I'd rather live here. But, you know, there are wonderful reasons for people to come here, and they bring lots of assets and value with them. And the community constantly changes in that process.
Really quick, tell us about the upcoming Parade of Homes and how this works.
It's the last weekend in September, the first week in October. We have 30 houses, down from 60-some last year and 80-some the year before. They are all brand-new houses. They are all for sale. It's a wonderful opportunity to come see good quality construction, great innovation in building materials, and to find out, is this a house you'd like to buy, or is this a builder you'd like to do business with?
And there's information on the website?
Information will be on our website soon. I'm not sure it's there yet. It's also BlueRidgeHomeshow.org. I'm sorry, Blue Ridge Parade of Homes. I did it again. BlueRidgeParadeOfHomes.org. All of the houses are open from noon to 5 on those two Saturdays and Sundays. It's all free.
Good deal. You can check out the website, brhba.org, for Blue Ridge Home Builders Association. Jay Wheeler, Executive Vice President. Jay, thank you for being here. Always enjoy it.
Thank you for having me.
You've been listening to Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot. Charlottesville Right Now is broadcast live Monday through Friday on News Radio 1070 WINA from 4 to 6 p.m. Best-selling author and historian Coy Barefoot is the host and producer. To interact with Coy and his guests, you can call 434-977-1070. Coy can be reached at barefoot@wina.com. This audio download has been made possible by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network. Visit cvillepodcast.com for more.